Good morning or afternoon, I guess. It's a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And I am officially in a Toronto basement. The move has been completed. I mean, all my shit is here anyways.
Wow. How long did it take to get your stuff in?
Like a couple hours? It wasn't too bad. No. It was a couple hours, but we paid $300 to have a couple guys come help us. So, which honestly, best $300 I've spent. Yeah. Like, I just let them carry all the heavy stuff. I'm not even sore today. I mean, I'm a little sore because I'm out of shape, but like, I didn't really strain myself too much. So, definitely the way to go when moving when you're old.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Yeah, so now it's just unloading boxes and putting stuff away. So this should take 2 weeks of just like not knowing where any fucking thing is.
Oh, dude, I bought this house last summer. My wife bought this house last summer. In August, we moved in. I still haven't unpacked. Like, yeah. There's still some boxes in the basement where I'm just like, I'll get to it. I don't know where to put this yet.
We tried so hard to pare everything down too. I bet we got rid of like 50% of our stuff.
Good for you.
And then even opening boxes and pulling stuff out, I'm like, oh man, like why did we keep this?
Yeah.
It's so hard to get rid of stuff, and then you haul it across the country and you're like, man, like this is just gonna stay in a box in the garage until move again.
I don't know if your parents were this way. I'm just assuming generationally. You know, like the meme of like the dad that never throws away that scrap of wood just in case it comes in handy for that one project 20 years later. Like our parents didn't throw stuff away and they could afford to replace. Like stuff was so cheap in the 80s. You could just buy new stuff. We learned those habits of hoarding and can't afford to buy anything. So like,
yes,
why would we throw stuff away?
It's true.
Right? We're double motivated to just hoard and hold on.
Hold on to all of your old crap.
These extra screws that came with this shelf. Oh, I can't fucking let those go. You know, if I ever needed those, how much those would cost me on Amazon? I can't be throwing money away.
I can't wait for the Richie Riches in the comments being like, you guys are losers.
You guys are dumb.
All right, so every single week we comb through all your interaction and we answer as many of your comments and questions as we can. You always can reach out on Twitter, which we get lots of action on Twitter, at Walk Off Podcast, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. If you are a member of the Discord, we comb through that and try and grab some comments and questions. And then, of course, the Patreon bump. If you are a Patreon member and pay those $4, you get the Patreon bump on mailbag. Instantly get your comments and questions in the show. You are a member of Discord, which is a happening place to be if you are a baseball and a Blue Jays fan. All different time zones, everyone talking and chatting and discussing and arguing Blue Jays. It's a good place to be. And then you also get bonus content, MLB bonus Mondays. That's right, an extra podcast a week and instant access to all of the interviews and stuff. We're going to try and get Jordan Powell out tomorrow.
Yeah, the knuckleballer. Let's do it.
Yeah, the knuckleballer. Let's do it. So tomorrow, to the public, we'll have Jordan Powell out there. We'll get Eric Gagne and Will Robertson out there in the next week, I would say, is probably a pretty accurate.
By the way, speaking of a Patreon, extra content. If you hated that 2 minutes that we rambled about moving and how expensive stuff is and hoarding and life habits and whatever, if you didn't like that, you'll love our intro. Yeah, you hate the 2 minutes that we go through here and you're like, just get to the baseball stuff. Patreon, literally, you get like a half hour of BSing before every episode. So sometimes it's really good.
Sometimes it's even more annoying. Because in the pre-show stuff, we're intertwining baseball in it. So it's really tough to even just, you don't know when we're going to talk baseball.
You know when like, have you ever had a dog? Scott, I know you have a cat, but I don't think cats behave this way. Have you ever visited someone with a dog?
Yes.
Okay, yes, you know,
I had
when
a
you,
family
when,
dog, yes.
When you show up at the house or like a new visitor comes and the dog is like fucking let's go and it's electric yeah. and all over the place when it first gets there, and then eventually it like settles down, it just lays on the bed and it's like a good dog. That's how we are at the start of every podcast.
We're yes, like, exactly.
We're all over
a
the
lot
place.
Of barking.
We don't know where our ideas are coming yeah. from, and then eventually we settle in. So what you guys usually get is settling in. So fuck, we've lost all of our viewers already. So this is good. We've weeded out the riffraff.
Weeded out the casuals. All right, and now we have settled, and it is time for mailbag. Big thanks to all of you who have reached out. We had more than normal this week, and I know we're not going to get to them all again. All I can say is just keep trying.
You know what's funny? Speaking of keep trying, good efforts. Sounds like you failed. You didn't fail. I mean, good effort to like persevere, you and Juan, with getting long toss going without me.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a couple last minute hiccups before long yeah. toss on Sunday went off, yes. but it went off. And I know
went
the
off.
Audio was a little hit or miss with the levels and stuff.
Yeah.
I was watching it over at my dad's place and we were all laughing at how bad the audio was. Like there was birds chirping and we're just reading the live chat as people are like, why can I still hear this guy talking if he's muted and all this stuff?
Yeah.
And like Juan was so, I don't know if it got fixed in the end, I only watched the first like 20 minutes. But I was just thinking, I think I even said this to my dad. I'm like, oh man, I usually get roasted in the comments for how bad my tech skills are. I'm like, after this episode, I'm going to get some love. I think
yeah.
people are going to be like, man, Adam's bad with tech, but I didn't realize how good he was. Cause
yes.
And then surprisingly, I didn't get a single one of those comments. So it really hurt my feeling. I'm like, am I just that bad all the time? That is the
Man,
level of expectation from this show.
It was so stressful. Like long toss is just, it's just like, even I was stressed for Juan trying to like get him the login info and stuff like that. And like, you know, Adam walked both him and I through it. Because
2 hours on Saturday morning going through it.
Yeah. And then this is the thing too. It's like, you know, Juan, by the way, is the host of the Walk Off Mariners. And yep. so we're trying to have a Walk Off Mariners host on every long toss. Mm-hmm. And so Juan and I, that way we can kind of go back and forth from hosting. And so if one of us is gone, long toss is always on. That was one of the biggest criticisms we had last year, is that there wasn't the consistency everyone wanted. So this was why Juan was running it. And it was getting his text, man. He was just like, at the end, he's like, I don't know how you do it. He's like, man, directing traffic is so hard. And that's yeah. exactly what I was saying when I took over for you, like hosting more. It's just like, oh yeah, you need to literally be like, okay, let's hear from you and let's hear from you. And like, otherwise it's just like a mishmash of people and one person gets forgotten and like, you know.
Well, you guys run it this year, burn yourselves out. And then by next year, you take a year off and I'll
yeah,
do it
right.
with Jordy.
Right. There you go. There we go. All right. Let's get into it here.
Let's get into it. Okay. Blue Jays beat the Orioles last night.
Great game. Loved
Great
that
game.
Corbin Burns. If there were, and the Flu Jays to
I,
steal
I love
a,
this new nickname, by the way.
To steal a pun from Keegan Matheson,
yep.
friend of the show, and guest on Baseball Town, May 30th at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Those tickets
shameless
are on
plug.
Sale right now. Yeah, shameless plug. But the Flu Jays, as he said, man, this team is sick. Like, this team is straight up sick. And then the one guy who isn't sick is Danny Jansen, who's been going through back spasms because he's about as hot as possible at the plate. Poor Jano, man. Like, every time that he gets healthy and gets on a run, something derails him. And fingers crossed, knock on wood, that this is just a day or two he misses here, obviously. And back spasms are touch and go. So he could be fine today, for all we know. The lineup hasn't been released yet. Of course, once this is out, the lineup will be released. But yeah, man, big win from a team that was shorthanded. Big win from a team that the bats are slowly starting to come around. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has been like one of the best players in the American League over the last 20 games, 25 games. batting average of 330 in his last 25 and on base of 422, both top five marks in the American League. He could hit for a little more power still. We're not really seeing that power stroke since the Grand Slam he hit, but sure is good to see the middle of that order coming through, which is exactly where this team was lacking. So
on Sunday in our group chat with Joel, you guys seem to be fully back. I don't want to say on the bandwagon, but fully believers in this team. I know you've never
hopeful.
Gotten off the wagon.
We let hope creep back in. Hope rearing its ugly head in my life again.
And I said, I feel like my gal pal's texting me about how her abusive boyfriend just apologized and bought her an anklet. Don't fall for it. They're going to hurt you again. That's where I'm at with the Blue Jays. You're
and
optimistic.
I'm at, look at how hot my ankle is right now. Right? So,
we're going to get a weekly ankle check. That's our new temperature
check on the Jays. A weekly ankle check.
Ankle check. What's your optimism with this team?
You know what's funny, dude, is 1 week ago, my hope was almost zero. And they just have looked like they
competent.
Have some life. Yeah, they look competent. I mean, they're still not scoring enough runs. Even yesterday, we won in the 10th 3-2. But you know what? Sometimes hope's not an easy pill to swallow, right?
This is true.
Make a lot of excuses.
Deb commented, this is actually from last week after the Phillies game 6 days ago, but I think it still kind of holds true. And this sums up where I'm at. But Deb on Patreon says, oh man, today's game has given me a case of the, could this be the worst case scenario where we are bad, but not bad enough to force changes vibes? That's where I'm at, man.
I mean, it's funny because it is a slippery slope here. We watched it happen last year. This team was not good enough to go deep into the playoffs. I mean, I think most of the fan base knew that. I mean, I was very hopeful. Everyone was hopeful, right? You make the wild card and you try and put all the logic aside and just be like, if they get hot, who knows?
I mean, the Diamondbacks last year, right?
Exactly, right? So a team that also might not even make the playoffs this year. Let's be serious. They're under 500 as well. Not that I'm one to throw rocks in a glass house, but, you know, for everyone who just was like, the Diamondbacks are doing it right. I mean, they're in a tough division too. You never know how things are going to go. Their young core, all of a sudden, sophomore slumping, both Corbin Carroll and Gabriel Moreno has been a black hole. He's starting to play a little bit better the last week, but yeah. Long story short, I'm with you, man. It would be a nightmare if this team wins 86 games, gets the last wild card spot, saves Atkins' job again, and then they just... Because I'm at the point now, and I think a lot of this fan base is there, I don't trust Atkins for what comes next, and the next step is so instrumental in where this organization is over the next 10 years, right? Like, if they do need to take a retool, rebuild type of step here, I don't want Atkins at the helm. You get one rebuild. You get one rebuild. You don't get two. And if this is where we're going, yeah, it's a scary proposition. And then we need to listen to Shapiro come out and be like, well, I mean, he's made the playoffs for the last 5 years. How could we get rid of that sort of competency?
Continuity is a competitive advantage.
Oh, yeah.
I love Sean LeCombers take.
Oh, man. LeCombers rant on that was so great. Yeah.
It's like, if you missed it, go back and watch it. But yeah, just the idea that, like, what? It's an advantage that you don't have to, like, learn somebody else's new name.
Yeah.
Just the laziest, narcissistic approach to.
Oh, man. And I think that's what this front office is, why they're wearing on the fan base is. They really do have this, like, we know
nailed down. Yeah.
We know best attitude. And it's just like, well, then prove it. Like, I'm fine with admitting you know best if I don't have an argument as to you not knowing best. Like,
that's
there's all this talk of analytics. It's just, I love analytics. I just don't believe in the Blue Jays analytics.
This is where I'm frustrated by this team winning a single game against the Orioles and having that, like, see, maybe we got it. Because there is an element of, like, this team's good on paper. We've been saying that for 4 years now, right? Where you go, I guess 3 years, right? Like, the year after they missed the playoffs and there was the, like, that was the movie, this is the sequel and all this talk. And, like, here we go. And now the Blue Jays have arrived and all this, right? And then just under-delivering what that good on paper should do. And I just worry that that's going to be what gets pointed to save, like, Ross Atkins' job, where he goes, see, it's not my fault. I built a good team.
Yeah.
When this team is doing what they're supposed to do, we win.
Which
I
there's
built
an
a
element
great
to
team.
Truth.
That's their
there's
fault,
an element,
not mine.
There's an element of truth to it. But, and this is a very big but, 2 years in a row is a fairly large sample size, and it was his choice to go in a different direction, right? It was his choice to be like, you know what? Our offense is so dominant, so good, which it was. You go back and look at the numbers, and it was one of the best offenses in all of baseball, 2021 and 2022. And he thought that he could shed some offense, bring in some defense, and really lock things up. And the pendulum swung too far the other way. And now we're in this really weird, murky area where it's like, has it swung too far? Like, are we completely screwed now? Like, can it be redone? Like, is this even fixable? So this is why I, like, it's such a double-edged sword because I love the Blue Jays so much and I still want them to win. Like, I still, even if this is a flawed build, I still would prefer to watch them win and cheer for them to win than kind of hope for the best case scenario, which is Atkins is gone.
I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan. Don't shoot me. Last year, they were bad. I mean, they've been bad for a while, but they keep, like, being kind of bad. And we're never getting, like, good draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, when, like, Connor Bedard got drafted, I just wanted them to be fucking as bad as possible, right? Like, get Connor Bedard, and then all of a sudden, now we're making the playoffs again. You know, for the rest of his rookie contract, we've got him. But instead, you don't get him because you're not quite bad enough, and that's where I'm at with this fucking team is, like, I want them to win, but I just feel like
they're not good enough. And you know what? If they prove they are good enough, perfect. That is literally the best case scenario, is if all of a sudden George Springer comes back and he's like, guess what? I've been sick for a month. That's why I have sucked. And you know what? I tried to fight through it. I couldn't, took some time off. Now I'm feeling great. And George Springer, all of a sudden, completely, to steal a line from Dumb and Dumber, just when you think it can't get any worse, you completely redeem yourself, right? And that's kind of where George Springer needs to be for this team to perform to what it looks like on paper. Listen, Bo Bichette is turning things around. We're starting to see Bo get back to where he was in 2023, 2022, 2021, which was a hits machine, right? A guy who you could count on being close to the top of the league for how many hits he puts up. And without having him hitting at the top of that order, and then Vladdy in the biggest slump of his career to match it, it was a nightmare. But we just talked about Vladdy coming out of it, and now Bo's coming out of it. We're seeing more life out of guys like Varsho. And, like, I'm just saying,
fucking Bo Bichette's 2022 season, we're going to be pointing to it all fucking year long, where we go, 2022, he also started slow, but once he gets going, and, like, I know he went 3-for-4 yesterday, and 1-for-3 the last 5 games. So we're just going to point to that and be like, he's turning it around. And, like, I hope he is.
But
he probably is. But it's just that fucking, I'm over getting my hopes up with this team. I'll keep cheering for them, but man, I'm fucking out on this team being good. You ever hear like, there's like a, I don't know if it's a philosophy or a fucking old Chinese proverb or what, but there's a thing about how it's actually faster to go or to travel 4 miles than it is to travel 2 miles. Because if you're going to go 2 miles, you say, oh, I'll just walk. And then it takes you 25 minutes to get there. But then if it's too far, you go, okay, I'll take the car instead. And you get there in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like, we're just at that phase right now where we're still like, well, it's just the pain that I'm suffering.
We can walk it.
Is tolerable. Like I could, it's the reason you stay in shitty relationships where you go like, well, they're the worst person I've ever met, but there could be someone even worse out there. So yeah. I'll stay with this person. They bought me flowers for Mother's Day. That's a pretty good sign. Maybe he's turning it around. He's not. Anyways.
She's the worst, but I mean, she's 19 and 22. Like, we're only 3 games under .500. You know, this whole thing could turn it around.
Yes. If you are in your 30s and your girlfriends are 19 and 22, you're doing pretty good for yourself. Keep those young girls around, but they're still legal. So that's the important distinction. Comment here from M. Heineken on YouTube says, I'm willing to try anything at this point. Adam, grow a beard. Scott, shave yours.
Yeah.
Are we responsible? I did shave a mustache this year.
Yes. And what a classy mustache.
Thank you. I don't know if you could tell right now. It's getting scruffy. I've been letting it grow.
Yeah. Yes, you
and
have.
And the Jays have been turning it around since I've let this scruff come in. If I shave this off and we lose the next two to Baltimore, I'm just saying.
Mm.
We mm-hmm. often, we.
Let's say I, let it grow. Give it two more days, Adam, before you shave yourself up here, all right?
I often quote a movie that I'm not sure exists on this channel. It's an asteroid movie about a boy who's in one town and another. And every time they relocate, evacuate the city to another town. And then it's just a vague memory from my childhood. But some mystical reason, the meteor keeps going towards that boy. It changes course every time they re-evacuate the city. I'm not sure this movie exists. I get teased about it in Patreon all the time. But that's how I feel like with my beard right now, where I'm like,
yeah.
Am I the boy attracting the meteor right now? Like, do I just have mystical powers in my beard? Man. All right. This is a weird episode, Scott. This is a weird, weird episode.
You know what happened here? You know why this has even been a weird day? I don't even think we told everyone, but so I texted Adam yesterday. I was like, hey, 10 a.m.?
Like normal? Always?
Like normal? Or we can go early. And he went 8 a.m. Eastern time, which is 6 a.m. for Adam, to which I responded, ha, ha, ha. End of texts. I wake up and I see a text at 8:30 and it's Adam. And he's like, are you joining? And I was like, oh, my God, he was serious. That wasn't a joke at all. He really did want to go super early. So since that moment, it's been a weird morning.
I did record until you responded. When you responded, my recording was not going well. So when you responded, it was the firing of Ross Atkins that I needed to go, I gotta delete this file. This episode is not good. Nobody needs this episode. So
okay.
Here we are.
Round two.
This episode's just as bad. Derek from Twitter says, hey guys, love the show. Really appreciated the prospect update last show, but I knew of Chad Dallas and Spencer Horowitz. Definitely keep an eye out for Manuel Beltre. Any other under-the-radar prospects I should be keeping an eye out for?
I love this question and actually did some digging into the minor league system. One name stood out to me, Eric Pardino. Mm-hmm. Some of you might remember Eric Pardino from 2018, he was actually a top 10 prospect in the Blue Jays system at 18 years old. Brazil kid, right? Had some attention as to how well he pitched at the WBC for Brazil. Well, He has missed pretty much 3 years because of injuries off and on. Had a Tommy John surgery, had some problems with his knee, just has had a rough go at staying healthy. He's still only 23 years old, and he has 8 perfect innings in 6 appearances, 14 strikeouts. Now, I know that's a small sample size, but he's with AA right now and has been transitioned from a starter to a reliever. This is a kid to be excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the bullpen, they haven't done a great job of developing pitchers. Starters, I mean, there's Manoah, the one guy you could kind of point to, but I mean, can you?
Yeah.
There's Tiedemann, and he's struggled with health and he's yet to make his major league debut. Like, really, this front office, there's a lot of
Nate
things.
Pearson.
And Nate Pearson, like, there is a lot of things you can say about this front office that are good, but oh man, do they ever suck at drafting and player and development. Their track record just shows they haven't been very good at it. So Eric Pardino, keep your eye out for him. Mm-hmm. Another kid that has gone through the ringer. And I don't know why I have more faith in a guy who has had to really go the extra mile to get to where he is, but I do. You know, like if you've had to deal with some trials and tribulations along the way, I just trust you personally more to be able to deal with whatever might come your way. And I mean, it's baseball. Shit's always coming your way.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Pardino's a guy I'm kind of excited about and just really happy he's finally healthy. 21-year-old, while we're talking relievers, Kai Peterson, he's pitching with the Dunedin Blue Jays. Low A, 21-year-old. He has 25 Ks in 13 innings pitched and is showing that he can truly not just throw, but pitch. Fernando Perez is another guy with the Dunedin Blue Jays, top prospect in the system for command. Like, I guess this kid at 20 years old can pretty much put his pitches wherever he'd like, which anyone who knows young pitchers knows this is normally the last skill to come, is being able to locate and put pitches where you want them. And he's already been kind of established as the guy in this organization who has that skill set. 37 Ks in 30 innings. So he's over a strikeout an inning as well. And last but not least, CJ Van Eyck, friend of the show. He's another dude who, I mean, had Tommy John surgery in 2022, took almost a full 2 years to return. And they always say Tommy John's about 12 to 18 months, but everybody's different. Every arm is different. Every rehab is different. And unfortunately for CJ, it literally took almost 24 months for him to get back. But he's healthy. He's back with the Fisher Cats in Double A, and he has been incredible. 9 earned runs in his first inning of the year, which is why his ERA is so ridiculous. But honestly, right now, he has been just one pitcher of the week in Double A and has put up 4 really impressive starts. So CJ Van Eyck, another kid, 24 years old now, fully healthy. Keep an eye on him. So there you go.
He is good to talk to. I liked our interview with him.
Yeah, me too.
Good question, Derek. Okay, next one comes from Nick. Question from Mailbag. Do you think MLB managers are more responsible when a team struggles compared to an NHL coach?
I love this question. I love this question. Honestly, grounds crew, could you drop comments below? I would love to hear what you think. Is an MLB manager more responsible for the outcome of the team than an NHL coach? I'm going to say it's a wash. I don't know. Like,
I would just, if I was to venture a guess and say it varies from one organization to the next. Like, I feel like depends how much rope they get. Like, if you're just Charlie Montoyo and you're just the puppet guy, Are you responsible? Probably fucking not.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's, I don't think it's a sport versus sport. I think it's just team structure versus team structure on a case by case basis. That would be my guesstimate.
It is interesting because there are decisions that would be made by both the coach and the manager in these scenarios that absolutely can swing a game. And there is a reason why there's a manager and coach of the year award in both sports, because there are guys who can take a lemon and make lemonade. But all of that said, I still truly believe that the difference between a good coach and a bad coach is a few decisions, you know, like one bad decision a game. And
here's an interesting hypothetical for you, Scott. On MLB Mondays, I did last night, I always end with rolling through my favorite TikToks of the week. They're usually sports or baseball related. This one in particular was in the Padres game. I think it was Padres Angels last week. There was a situation with, I think, runners on first and second, and then a hit single, would it be an out at first, but the run scored. Mm-hmm. There's catcher's interference. Anyways, all this to say, the manager of the Padres, I'm blanking on his name right now, but had a decision to make. He was offered the option to either take the catcher's interference, which would just result in the runner being safe at first, but the runner from third doesn't score. So literally take a run off the board, but get an out back. So your base is loaded with one away, or you get a run with a runner on second and two away. He opted for taking a run off the board. Like, he gave up a run, which is kind of crazy with how precious runs are. Gave up a run to load the bases, one away, and it was Manny Machado who was on deck. So that was the next batter, right, to come up. And I go, well, with Manny Machado in May, it's an easier choice, right?
Yeah.
Does he make that same decision in October? I don't know. That's a ballsier choice to give up a run in a close game. But my question for you, I posed this to the Patreon yesterday, was, is there a guy in our lineup that, if he's on deck in that situation, you would want John Schneider doing the same thing? Because Machado ended up hitting a bases clearing double. So, like, it worked out.
Yeah.
They scored three runs. Yeah. Machado got on. Is there a guy where you go, yeah, Vladdy's up, let's fucking let him roll? Or do you go, no, we need the runs right now,
with how hot Vladdy is over the last 25 games? Yeah. I Vladdy's my guy, I guess, in that scenario. Again, this comes down to, it's still situational, right? It's still situational as to, baseball is all about streaks. Who's hot, who's cold. If I would rather take the run. I mean, also we're the Blue Jays, so every run is about as valuable as you could possibly
put on.
That's
half our runs for the game.
That's right. If we're going to score one run, that's a third of what we're going to score if we're going to win. Like, yeah. So I guess if Vlad or Bo is looking like they should, I'm fine with that scenario. But yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I can't wait to see what some of the commenters say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one here. You're going to read this one. This one comes from YouTube. This is
right.
A 12-page script from Lance, 1984.
So I don't think we're going to get to all of it, but I'm going to get to the gist of what he's saying. So Lance, 1984, says, a long reply, but this is how I see it. The Jays are going down, and there's no way to salvage it. They had the worst bullpen in the majors. I mean, this last month of April, that's true. There's definitely more that went into it than just that, like Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson missing the beginning of the season. Chad Green is injured and started the season very well. Jimmy Garcia missed like almost 10 days without being on the IL, where they couldn't use him. You know, so they were really running on fumes in April, and we've seen this bullpen look a lot better as of late. But he is right, though. It was the worst bullpen. I just don't think that it is actually the worst bullpen. Some of the worst hitting and terrible depth. All things that are not going to be fixed by a couple of trades. It's a deep organizational mess. I had suggested the Moreno trade was the worst in team history as they were trading the future for now, and you guys made fun of me on a live show, LOL. Who's laughing now? First of all, I still think you are full of shit there, dude. I still don't think it's the worst trade in history of the Blue Jays. Like, what? Are you 12? Like, if 1984 is when you were born, like, you didn't... There are just, anyways, especially considering how good Dalton Varsho has been this season, Gabriel Moreno has a 700 OPS and one home run this year. He started ice cold. I mean, he's just been an average catcher. Dalton Varsho is on pace for a 7-WAR season. Listen, I know that that's not how it's probably going to go, but even if he's 5 wins above replacement, he's going to pass what Gabriel Moreno had. And this is a trade that we really aren't going to be able to evaluate for a little while longer. I know people hate hearing that. I'm sorry. And I don't even want to get into this trade again because it just drives me nuts. But listen, Gabriel Moreno is a very good catcher and he has the potential to be a superstar. He's 24 years old. He is definitely not there yet. Anyways, and who's laughing now? I mean, it feels like this is like a slam dunk to him, to Lance. Like, oh, I'm so right. Take that. I just don't see it that way at all. Team seriously lacks offensive power. Very true. But how is Gabriel Moreno have it? Like, he has one home run this year. Anyways, what I would do.
If you Google worst Blue Jays trades of all time, there's an article, interestingly enough, on Sportsnet regarding the Varsho trade. Mm-hmm. This is from Shai Davidi. But halfway down this page, question. So is Varsho for Moreno and Gurriel the worst deal the Blue Jays have ever made? Answer. 5 words. Michael Young for Esteban Loaiza. Trade did more damage to the franchise's trajectory than any other. Trading a future 7-time all-star shortstop for 75 mediocre and indifferent starts from the right-hander.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one example, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, it's Varsho isn't even bad.
No, he's been great. I mean,
like,
he's literally been great. His first season in Toronto in a new country and a new team, he didn't play like we were hoping he would, but he also wasn't a huge bust, right? Like, he was still a very capable player in the outfield. So he says, catcher, sign Jansen to a long-term deal. See if there's any way in hell we can get Moreno back. If it's a Bo Bichette deal, then it's what it has to be. If not, you need to draft a catcher or transfer a body to catcher. The running game is back, and you have no catcher that can actually throw the ball. I mean, you want to move Bo Bichette to get Gabriel Moreno back now? Like, it just seems crazy. I don't know. And by the way, just because Lance and I have difference of opinions, if you're taking that as me mocking you, like, I'm not even mocking you. I would love to sit down and talk baseball with you. I just fundamentally disagree that Gabriel Moreno would make this team a competitive winning team all of a sudden. He's one guy. Push back. Go ahead.
I would just say, okay, first of all, Bo Bichette for Gabriel Moreno isn't happening. Like, in the universe of all the universes, that's not happening. But I don't hate it. Like, I do not like Kirk as a catcher. I do think the league is, the rules are only going to make it harder for him. He can get run on at will. Base stealing is only going to be a bigger nemesis for him as the
he's an
next
instant
5
double
years
play.
Roll on.
Yes.
So not in a who helps us win this year trade. I don't think Bo Bichette for Gabriel Moreno makes a difference positively for the Blue Jays this season. But if I'm looking at 5 years of Gabriel Moreno control at a discounted price versus either paying Bobichet $250 million or losing him in free agency and getting a draft pick, that's where I go, okay, like, yes, it's not happening, but that's the kind of trades that I'm looking for. Like, what I'm saying, well, let's trade Bobichet. Is it something like that? Like, let's get a young,
yes, controllable guy,
a young guy with upside who maybe had his rookie season last year, showed something really desirable. Maybe it's a catcher, maybe it's a whatever. So anyways, I don't hate the idea of a Bobichet trade for Moreno. Mix those names in with whoever you want. Doesn't help us this year, but long-term, I think it does.
Everything he said here for his plan so far, I actually do agree with, you know, like I just, maybe it's my bias because the pushback on Moreno has been so huge by so many people and I just haven't seen it. Like, I'm just like, yeah, he's got a cannon of an arm. We watched him have a pretty good playoff run. I don't even think that Gabriel Moreno is the reason the Diamondbacks went to the World Series, which everyone seems to want to give him credit for. I really like Moreno, but I just don't see him as like the Buster Posey Jr. that some people are making him out to be. Is this a future MVP? I would be shocked. I mean, maybe, and good for the kid if he is. And I do get the idea of like, I just feel like with Moreno, it's like, it's done. It's over. Just like, let's move on. And then he does say, I like Addison Barger, either plays third or transition him to catcher. I mean, he is right. Kirk is costing this team games in a lot of cases. His defense has been incredible, and he probably saved a run last night with his blocking skills. But he also probably cost a run last night by hitting into two double plays, and just he's just such a detriment offensively, which who saw coming in 2022? Like, everyone was just, I mean, you and I were on the trade Kirk train, right? We wanted Moreno and Jansen long term, but you can only trade who other teams want to trade. And obviously other organizations recognize that Kirk was bound to
what
regress.
We saw. Yeah.
Bound to regress. Then also, he said,
by the way,
kinda...
hold on. That is also something that like Atkins does get shit on for. And like, I'm not happy with that. I've been a defender of Atkins publicly, vocally. He gets shit on a lot for trading Moreno. And like what you just said there about like, oh, he kept Kirk over. Like, no, like you can't fucking.
Yeah.
You can't hold that one against him. Like, there's plenty to be frustrated with him about. But I just don't think he was like adamant, like, oh, we got to keep Kirk because he's the fucking future of baseball. Yeah. This 4'8" hobbit here with a big belly.
Yeah.
Like, he's. Sorry, continue.
No, I totally now what he says next, I actually 100% agree with. He says you need to re-sign Guerrero to a long-term deal. If not this year, he needs to be traded for prospects, which obviously, if they can't sign him, they absolutely need to move him for prospects. You can patch first base position. Until then, as for the future, I'm not sure. Aralvis is only 5'11", so that should not be your goal, which I don't know. I mean, I feel like 5'11 is tall enough for a first baseman, but I did go through the history of first baseman, and they do tend to be over 6 feet. So it is a point to think about. I know we've talked about Aralvis maybe moving to first base because he's been such a defensive liability at almost every other position since getting bumped up to AAA.
Are they all throwing errors?
Yes.
No fielding errors, nothing with his glove.
Well, no, his glove's not great either.
You want
it's
that
kind
guy
of like
first
a,
then?
Yeah, it's kind of right.
You know what I mean?
Know.
Like. Vladdy,
but you don't want him
is...
as a 23-year-old DH, I think, is the big thing, right?
Can I say a hot take here on Vlad?
Yes.
He might have more value. I'm not looking at the numbers here. This is totally going on vibes. So don't quote me with like, his UZR fucking DFHS plus rating is slanted upside down, you idiot. I'm just saying, it feels like Vladdy might be more valuable as a first baseman defensively than he is as a hitter. Like, I feel like he's more above average as a first baseman defensively than he is above average as a hitter. Am I crazy with that?
No, but I do feel like he alternates back and forth between where he's more valuable.
That's fair. I mean, as long as he doesn't have a literal hole in his glove, his defense is pretty good.
Right?
Like, when he's cartwheeling to make tags, come on.
Yeah.
He, like, genuinely, he has pretty good range. There's a lot of bad throws that come his way. He stretches and does the splits really well, digs a lot of balls out of the dirt. There's a lot of throws from whether it's Ernie Clement or Bo Bichette or whoever that take him towards home plate where he's got to do one of those, like, catch it and still tag moves. Like, I don't see Aurelvis Martinez doing that, right? Like, we take it for granted.
Not out of the gate,
like,
that's for sure.
But, like, we take it for granted. But I think it is, like, an actual skill set that he is, like, really good at defensively at first base. And I think right now he's not a really good offensive hitter. I think he's modestly above average. Like, I do think he's good, not great offensively right now.
Yes.
Obviously, the sky's the limit. But so yeah, I would say right now, based on the last calendar year.
Well, this is an interesting conversation because I know, like, if for some crazy reason they do need to go into a retool / rebuild or however you want to frame it. Maybe Vladimir Guerrero Jr., with his performance over the last few years, can be locked up for 5 years, $100 million. You know, like, maybe it's not going to take a monster deal. And maybe you just cross your fingers and bet that this 25-year-old somewhat becomes far more productive at the plate, which we know he has it in him. I you know, like, it's not a bad idea. I know we have talked about, can we lock Bo up? Is there any way? But it really feels like it's far more likely that Vladdy can be locked up, right? Like, he was born in Canada. He's very comfortable in Toronto. He seems to enjoy it. He doesn't want to go to New York, where I get the feeling Bichette can't wait to wear pinstripes. I don't know. Maybe that's the more viable way to not completely tear down, right? And does Vladdy have enough value of what you would get back to even it out? He might not. He might be more valuable just to stick around.
We're never going to get to know this, but I would love to have a little listening device in Ross Atkins' phone or whatever, just to hear what the offers are that we're turning down. You know, like, when Vladdy sticks around and whatever, or Bo too, like, who are, what are the calls that we're getting on these guys? You know, because, like, as much as
it's all speculation. Yeah.
And as much as I'm on the train of, like, we got fucking trade these guys while we can, get as much as we can for, if the offers are not good, then yeah, of course not. Right. Like, I'm not saying trade them at all cost, but, like, I have to think they're worth something to somebody, but I don't know. It's I just fucking would love to know who's calling and being like, here's fucking. Whatever. And we're like, nah, we're good. I don't know.
So to finish up where Lance is going, he says second, Davis Schneider is the guy going forward long term. Agree. I think Schneider has, I mean, he's won the everyday spot for 2024. Something that was kind of touch and go up until now. But he has been just incredible at the plate. He's been very proficient in the field. I mean, there's been a few blunders in left, but he hasn't played a lot of left. He's getting more comfortable with the position. I mean, if you look back over his minor league career, the majority of his reps came at second and third base. He did start taking outfield reps last season in Buffalo because they could see that this was a guy that could maybe really help the lineup, and they needed positional versatility to fit him into it. So, you know, give him time. I'm confident that Davis Schneider will be fine as a left fielder within a year. He's just still learning routes and stuff like that.
With you.
Go ahead.
No, just I'm with you. I agree.
Yeah. Third, try and trade Kiner Falefa. Spencer Horwitz is a possibility, as well as Clement. You can move them around and see who is long-term major league. I mean, Spencer Horwitt is getting reps at second base for the first time in his career right now. So obviously the Blue Jays do see that first base is blocked and he's not great in left field. So they're trying to give him another position. He doesn't have an arm, which is why third base has not been an option for Spencer. And then when it comes to Ernie Clement, he's already playing third base a bunch. I've been pleasantly surprised with IKF. I'm actually a little surprised that Lance is so against Kiner Falefa being the third baseman. He's been very good defensively, and he's been good offensively in the eight hole in the order. It's not like he's expensive. I mean, I feel like he's a little overpaid, but it's still 2 years, $14 million. I mean, they didn't break the bank on the guy.
I've never at any point this season felt, I mean, I guess other than the first like week when I didn't know better, felt like bummed out when IKF came to the plate the way I did with Matt Chapman most of last season. I don't have that. I don't know. Expectations are a weird thing, hey?
Yeah. No,
Bar's lower for IKF offensively.
it
Fair or
absolutely is,
unfair?
and he's gotten over that bar despite it being low. Outfield, trade everyone for prospects besides Varsho. Not saying he is a long-term solution. He absolutely is a long-term solution. It's why they went out and got him.
He'll be a Blue Jay for a while. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, but only with youth and value, likely you will need to absorb some money. There's no likely. You absolutely are going to need to eat the majority of Springer's contract if you're going to move him, I guarantee. And then as for KK, I mean, yeah, at the deadline, I guess that's an option. He's on a 1 year deal. I'm sure he would help a contending team in the playoffs, even just as a guy who can go into a game late and be a defensive stalwart.
Yeah, if you don't eat money on Springer's contract and you just look at the names involved in the trade, we're losing that trade if we're not taking on money. Like he is a negative value in a trade.
And I hate talking about Springer like this because he really was. He ha I ha My hopes for him with the Blue Jays were so high, and I really was like, you know, I know they're getting him at 31, but maybe he's the exception. Is he Jose Bautista? And I mean, that has been answered. He is 100% not Jose Bautista. He is not hitting his stride in his early 30s, unfortunately. Finally, Lance goes pitching. Well, trade Kikuchi and try and re-sign him at the end of the season. Interesting, kind of the Aroldis Chapman idea with the Yankees a few years back. Trade Gausman. I would keep Berríos and Bassett, which is weird. I would keep Gausman over Bassett, but that's fine. Everyone has an opinion. Manoah, you keep. Manoah gets you nothing, and you are rebuilding, so there's no reason not to take the time to try and fix him. Probably, truthfully, the way to go. I mean, if you can't get anything for him, you might as well see what you can salvage, right? Everyone else needs to go that has value. Now, this might look bleak, but look at the Orioles. Players that have, I mean, I don't want to do the Orioles 8 years of shit rebuild, but I get what he's saying here. And he makes a lot of good points, honestly. It's funny how much of that I agree with, and then there's just stuff that I disagree with, and that's baseball fandom, man. Nobody is going to 100% agree with everyone. Like, everyone has their own take, their own ideas. Would love to hear some of you folks in the grounds crew, what you thought of what Lance had to say, where you agreed, where you disagreed, what your thoughts are on where this team is at, because we're at a very precarious moment in this organization's history, right? Like, it is. We're coming up on some major decisions that are either going to take us into some dark times and a rebuild. I don't think that they're going to, and Adam, I know you've talked about this a little bit, but like, I don't think they're going to completely upheaval, you know, like, I don't think they're going to like tear this thing down, even though maybe that's the way to go. But they've dumped so much money into this building, and they like attendance is down.
Rightly
Mother's
so.
Day, Mother's Day last year, 40,000 fans. Mother's Day this year, 35. And I know there's fewer seats, but there's still over 40,000 seats at Rogers Center. That's a pretty major dip, man. That's like 15, 20% dip. Like, that is where Rogers has dumped almost $500 million into getting all of our money and not seeing the return. do they strip everything down and just take the hit? I would be shocked to see that. In fact, it kind of makes me nervous because sometimes a retool, you just wind up as the Calgary freaking Flames and just constantly drag me behind the truck for a decade and a half, 2 decades anyways. Thanks for the comment, Lance. That was a long one. Normally we don't get that long on the mailbag, but I did want to address you because I did want to, sometimes we get comments from people that whenever it's not a positive comment, we don't read it. And I'm like, that's not true. We always read negative comments, but there you go.
All right. Janice on Twitter DM'd pretty fired up last night. Said, holy shit, guys. Dalton Varsho single-handedly won that game tonight. Robbing that home run was a pretty play. And then he hits a donger himself. Is this team actually starting to show some life? I know they are last in the division, but 7.5 back in May. I'm starting to have some hope. Am I being silly? Yeah, you're being silly. Depends who you ask.
Janice, I love that this was the comment after Lance's too. Just like Dalton Varsho, King Dalton,
Kingmaker Dalton.
If you missed Dalton Varsho's defensive display in center field last night, where he robbed a home run and the entire Baltimore Orioles bullpen went like hands on head down to their knees, like what the hell just happened? It was a thing of beauty. And then to see him come up and hit a dinger to tie the game up, man, like rob a home run and then take one for himself. It was a fun thing to watch. Jordan Romano, man. Dude, 2 innings, lights out, just dominant. It got me fired up too, man. I was with Janice. I know that you hate hearing this because you truly believe that the way out of this is sometimes you got to go further in before you get out, right? And I know that that's probably the logical way to go about this organization, but I still love watching when they pull out a game like last night. And again, it was a 3-2 win in the 10th. They still can't score freaking runs. That is literally going to be the downfall of this team, is losing 3-2 flipping games. It just, but anyways, long story short, Janice, some of us are like you, and maybe it is silly, but we are letting hope creep back in.
Honestly, when I watched Dalton rob that home run, all I could think was how fucking nice it is having 7-foot outfield walls instead of 10-foot outfield walls.
I knew you would love that. I knew you would bring that up. Yeah.
Literally how fired up we all were, the fucking energy of literally, like, it's not like it's close. It's like literally it's going over the wall. He doesn't make that play. It's a home run, period. Mm-hmm. And instead it's an out and it's zero run and it's, why would you fucking not want to have that in your stadium that you just spent $250 million renovating the entire outfield wall? Like, why would you not want those opportunities? It's like the most entertaining thing in baseball. Way more exciting to rob a home run than to hit a home run. They don't happen often anyways. Like, why would you fucking want 20-foot outfield walls? Ah! Fire them all.
Adam's fired up.
Come on.
Come
home run robberies. Is there anything more exciting in other than like a walk-off home run?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You walk it off. Joe Carter, World Series, you walk it off. Yeah, I'm going to say that's more exciting than what Dalton Varsho did. But counterpoint, if a walk-off home run got fucking walk-off robbed with two out and that's the third out of the game, that's even better. Like, that's more exciting.
And look what it did to the team, though, right? Jose Barrios was about ready to punch through a wall. Like, right. He was just like, he was ready to go. The whole team was like, yes. It was like that defensive play that Jose Barrios made on the strikeout there. Mm-hmm. So the guy strikes out, it dribbles out in front. Jose Barrios makes an incredible play. Then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. makes an incredible play at first to get him. I think it's the first time I've ever seen like a 1-3 strikeout. It was so messed up. It was crazy. It was awesome. Gold glove winner Jose Barrios.
There you go.
And gold glove winner Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
There you go. Okay, we're getting long in the tooth here, so there's a couple in the middle we're gonna have to skip over for time. Sorry. Did have a question on YouTube. One of these fucking randomly generic usernames, NJNR fucking 972.
Man, you are just F bomb city today.
Jeez.
I'm like, Adam is fired up.
I've been up since 5 a.m. All right.
He's been up since 5 a.m. to do this show with his partner who just thought he was joking.
All right. What do you guys think about locking up Babe Schneider long term, like you mentioned? Since he was 28th round draft pick and never a high prospect in the rankings, maybe we can get him cheap. Say 10 years, 50 to 80 million or something like that. There's a comment replying to that way too premature from Mark Ryan. Said they wanted to sign Manoah long term after his good season. Thankfully, he turned the offer down. All I'm going to say is you can't have it both ways. Like you can't long for Alex Anthopoulos. I'm not saying you, I mean you in that like royal sense. But like you can't long for Alex Anthopoulos and every time any team signs up a guy right after his rookie season to something long and cheap and go, see, the Jays never do that. And then when we fucking have a guy like David Schneider, because I know you're also in the bandwagon of like, no, it's premature. It's too early. We haven't seen enough. And I go, I know. That's why you fucking do it, because it is cheap. That's the whole point of these cheap contracts, right? It's like once you wait long enough to go, okay, no, this is for real. He's also fucking seen it. He also goes, no, I'm for real, motherfuckers. I'm going to fucking ride this out, get my ARB money, and then I'm going to get way more money in free agency. So like that's the point of being like, hey, David Schneider, we believe in you. Obviously, there's a risk, so we're not going to give you, like, full value, but, like, $8 million a year for 10 years on David Schneider? I say fucking do it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. He's got four more years of control. Let's wait a year. I don't think it's going to skyrocket his price. I could be wrong.
When he hits 295 and 25 home runs, yeah, it's going to fucking skyrocket his price because it's fucking...
Yeah, but the thing with the 28 rounder is that maybe he's just, you know, you could go to him next year and be like, hey, 7 years, 50 million. What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I feel like it's premature. I get 100% what you're saying. And you know, that is one thing that Alex Anthopoulos has done really well with the Braves, has been able to distinguish the guys that he feels as a person are good people, who he feels are good leaders, who he feels are going to be good or even better than they are right now going forward. He's done a great job of it. You look at that Atlanta Braves team, and man, they are locked up long term. They've got a core of guys that just, I mean, most organizations would give their left arm to have. Maybe it is the move. I love Davis. Like, I've been so impressed with what he has done. And I mean, we've been fans for years because he's been coming on this show since he was a Vancouver Canadian. But I don't know. Maybe it's the Atkins GM speak. I can't get it out of my head. I'm just like, it's too soon. We got to see more.
Yeah. I don't know. That's.
What do you think, folks? Ground crew, let us know.
I'm just fine. Like, if you're going to play it safe and not risk money, like, that's cool. I just, from like a fan base perspective, I just gotta acknowledge you can't have it both ways. You can't look at the Braves and go, man, Ozzie Albies, 7 years, $35 million, what a fucking steal that is, but not acknowledge that, like,
there was
David Schneider is gonna be right. You fucking haven't seen him play a major league baseball game and you give him
a
good chunk of change, like life-changing money that he jumps at. Just saying, it's like,
yeah,
it's the same.
It's threading the needle.
That's why it's a risk, right?
Yeah. So threading the needle.
Okay. Last one here. This is a fun one to end on from Colin White on Patreon. Good day, gentlemen. Thanks again for the great work to start the season. Really enjoying the content. Last week, you mentioned Spencer Horwitz as a possible call-up. His buddies, Schneider and Clement, have been bright spots on the team. And as you know, all three are roommates when possible. They were roommates in spring training. One of them was interviewed on the broadcast about the roommates, who cooked, who cleaned, etc. One notable thing that resonated with me was they would spend their evenings playing board games. Mm-hmm. Specifically, Settlers of Catan as a favorite. A very wholesome pastime, to be sure. As the season progressed, when Davis or Ernie had a big moment, I would say something like, Catan boys doing it again, or Davis yes. is selling high on sheep, which just makes me smile reading this. With the Jays' struggles and Vogelback's lack of production slash usefulness, a replacement for him makes sense. So why not reunite all three Catan boys? Given that more analytically aligned changes are not working, why not rally around something unscientific as a board game? Are you guys fans of board games or Catan? Would you shout out Catan next time one of them has a big moment? Do you think the team needs something nonsensical like this to go on one of those special runs? Thank you for your excellent work. I love this so much.
Yeah.
This almost gets me back fucking being to want to cheer for this team again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Catan is great. I really enjoy it as a board game. I loved hearing that this is how they were spending their evenings. It was really funny to just picture these three like just being super like Michael Jordan competitive with Catan. And, you know, I'm all for it. And I honestly believe Spencer Horwitz would already be up if he had a little more power. And it really is too bad that that is what is holding him back at this point, because he has literally done everything that has been asked to him of AAA. He's currently hitting almost 350. He leads the AAA league in doubles. He walks nonstop. His on-base percentage is eye-popping, well over 400. He plays first base.
Yep.
It is really too bad. It's why they're trying to get him reps at second base, which is hilarious because this Blue Jays team has more second basemen than any team I can think of. But I mean, they need a place to put him. And unfortunately, Vladdy is in his last 25 games, literally the hottest bat in baseball outside of power. So like, how do you replace a guy with a guy who will do at the best as well and also not hit dingers when Vladdy has far more chance of hitting the long ball?
Here's the thing. Spencer Horwitz has an ore port. He's got ore with a six on it, and six is getting rolled. How is he not winning? It's because there's a robber on his six. He ain't collecting shit. And that's Vladdy at first base.
That's Vladdy. Just like, give me.
Give me all that ore. I love Catan too. Here's the thing. We just played the Twins. They got their fucking stupid home run sausage. If we're going to go with the Catan boys, we got to do something silly fucking.
After every home run, they come out onto the field and play a game of Catan. Might just slow things down a little, but
might slow things down. Or just like take the box of Catan and just like dump it, like, you know, the sunflower seed shower that they do.
Yeah.
But it's all board game supplies. It's just hexagons and dice falling down.
And then they hand it to the bat boy and he starts slowly picking it up and putting everything back.
Yeah. Put those numbers back in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, man. That's the episode.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for following along. I know this was a weird episode. Man, we were all over the place on this one. But if you made it to the end, congrats. So did we. Look at us toughing it out. You can always get a hold of us by reaching out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. The Instagram account is The Walk Off Podcast. And we have Julia Cruz of MLB.com joining us on Thursday. I know I didn't mention this to you yet, Adam, but if you can be there for us, that's great. If not, we'll figure it out. Anyways, either way, Friday morning, Thursday is an off day, so we'll get that in the books and get that out first thing Friday morning for you, and we'll see you all Friday. Take care. Cheers.
Cheers.